welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 191 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome back to the show. On this week's show, we're going to do a Disneyland trip report. That's right, we're back from Disneyland and wow, did we have a good trip. Now, for a special guest this week, I have my son, Quinn. Hey, Quinn, how's it going?
Oh, it's going well. How are you?
Doing good. Now, it's kind of funny because I'm recording with Quinn via Skype, like I do with our normal co-hosts, just because he's at school right now. They already started their next semester in the summer, and he's going full bore now. So he was able to take a couple hours off to help us out with a trip report from our trip to Disneyland. So thank you, Quinn.
Oh, yeah. It brings me back to past podcasting, you know? It's good to be back.
And I was about to say, Quinn does have some podcast experiences. If you've been with us for, like 3 or 4 years, you might know the show we used to do called the We're Going to Walt Disney World podcast. That was a show I did with Quinn and Hope, my son and daughter. And we made it up to about, 45, 46. And basically what happened, we just kind of had problems with just too much stuff going on. And that happens, and that's when the Disney Nerds started. So it was kind of a perfect turnaround and kind of a handoff. But really happy to have you back on, though, Quinn.
Yeah, happy to be back, of course.
And especially for the topic, right?
Oh, yeah. I was really excited about this trip, and I'm glad I was able to go on it with you.
Oh, no doubt. Now, I might have mentioned that we're going to be going on a cruise this summer, and Quinn unfortunately can't go. Sorry.
It's okay.
His kind of, payout was going to Disneyland, so it worked out.
Definitely. I was given 1 week of break between my spring and my summer term, so I knew I wanted to go somewhere, and California was top on the list.
Right. So now it was pretty cool to get to California. We went out to visit my Uncle Frank and my Aunt Nancy, and we had a really good time. Thank you very much, guys.
Yeah, thanks. It was great to see you, great to meet you, and thanks for hosting us.
Oh, no doubt. It was a full house at their place, and they were the best. They were the best. So we took 3 days down in Anaheim, and we wanted to go to Disneyland, do the full course of events from beginning to end. We've never been, and who knows when we'll get back.
Yeah, it'll be quite a while. We were very concise with our trip, and we hit pretty much everything we wanted to hit, you know?
Oh, I know. We're really. I was really happy kind of with the way it went. We might have missed, maybe about 5 rides in both parks, and the ones we missed weren't really missed, so I think we did really well.
Definitely. I'm sure if we want to get the complete Disney experience, we can go again and ride all the kiddie rides.
Oh, no doubt, and I would love to do that, so we'll see sometime down the road. We got down to Anaheim. We decided to get down there on Monday night. And our 3 park days were Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So by getting down Monday night, we're able to check into our hotel, and we're able to go over to the park and get our tickets.
Yes, we planned it so that we take one park each day, and then kind of mix it up on the third day to see what we missed or what we wanted to do again. You know, give us enough time to do everything.
Oh, sure. Now, with the 3-day ticket, once we turned it in, we got our tickets. They're paper tickets with the barcode on it, and we kind of put those away. One of the things was cool is with the 3-day hopper, you get an extra Magic Hour morning, which means you can go in either Disney California Adventure or Disneyland an hour before opening. Kind of like, extra Magic Hours at Walt Disney World. And we decided we're going to use that on Thursday because we'll, take advantage of rope drops in the first 2 days and then definitely hit that extra Magic Hour for whatever we missed that we had to get to. Okay, so after getting the ticket on Monday night, we kind of hung out that courtyard, and it was our first indication that this is a different thing. First of all, the hotel we stayed at was the Quality Inn Anaheim Suites, And it was a very nice hotel, and it was only about a 10-minute walk from the parks.
Yeah, it was right along, I forget the street name, but it was like a good 2 blocks, and then you were right on property.
Oh, it was great. And from the hotel, we kind of came out from it, and we went around the corner a little bit to where the the Howard Johnson's was.
Yeah.
And right from there, you could see Space Mountain. You could see the monorail track all down Harbor Drive. It was great. Or Harbor Boulevard.
Yeah, that was the street.
Actually, here's a coincidence. I grew up on Harbor Drive, so I might make that mistake more than once. So pretty cool. Nice, easy walk. And on our walk, we passed a Panera and a McDonald's, which was really kind of cool to know. That was always there as a backup if we kind of left the park extra hungry or not.
Most definitely. I remember a few days we either got food or just stocked up on drinks after the parks.
Oh, yeah. No, it was perfect. Perfect placement. So we kind of hung out Monday night for a little bit just because the fireworks started in the Magic Kingdom. And you could see it over the train station, so it was kind of cool. And then we decided to kind of get back to the hotel room because we were going to start early the next day.
So our first day, we decided to spend at Disney's California Adventure. We got up extra early, made sure we got there on time, and we were only second in line at Rope Drop, which is a first for us.
It was pretty cool. Now, the park opened at, I believe, 8 o'clock that morning. So we're there at 7 o'clock, and Extra Magic Hours on the other side of the of the courtyard was available for those people who were going to Disneyland. So the line was pretty long over there.
Yeah. I got to say, not as long as any of the lines we've ever seen at Disney World, which was, I guess, refreshing to see. But it was interesting to see the crowd that gathered for Extra Magic Hours.
Oh, right. And it was kind of an indicator what it might look like the next morning when we were over at Disneyland. So it was kind of cool. But, like Quinn said, we were number 2 in the Disney California line, the California Adventure line, which was excellent. And we really only sat in the ground for maybe 15 minutes before we stood up and the ticket takers started getting active.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It was about 7:45, I believe, when they started accepting tickets to get to the next point in the park before they stopped us to wait again. And the entire process of the tickets were new to us too, because we not only had the paper ticket, but they were using an app on the smartphones, taking a picture of us as identification, and that was completely different than anything we've ever experienced.
Oh, sure. Now, I can remember having the paper tickets way back in the day, but as far as the picture went, it was cool, and each ticket taker had their own smartphone-looking thing. And after that, every time we scanned our ticket, they were able to see our photograph. So they were able to match it up to who it was. So smile next time you go to Disneyland when you get that picture taken. Now, we were also really kind of lucky because we met a lady who helped us out getting into California Adventure and kind of doing the first couple things. Because our plan had been to get online for the Fast Pass for Guardians, which was the main drive for the morning, getting Guardians. And she was like, well, no, you're second in line. You should just try to get on the ride itself and then do the Fast Pass afterwards. So we're like, okay. And you know what?
Mm-hmm.
It worked.
Yeah. So after they let us in, there was kind of a mini rush like there always is at Rope Drop. But we kind of all caught up around the Marvel. There was a little bit of Monsters, Inc., but it was mainly Marvel-themed area. And we were waiting there for about another 15 minutes before they walked us up to the Guardians of the Galaxy entrance and started us through the queue. And we were able to get on the ride fairly quickly. And that the entire ride was a really great experience, not only to see how the Tower of Terror that used to be at Disney California Adventure, how that used to operate in terms of the ride layout, but also to see such a new ride day, maybe like weeks, or like a week or two after it first appeared or was opened.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And it was pretty busy. However, and, one other thing I remember was as we were walking in to get onto the standby line, we were still like second, third, something like that. We were passing the people lining up for the fast passes, and they were kind of routing them around behind the scenes where they were coming out on the other side of the fast passes to where the tower was, or the Guardian's tower was, to where the fast pass queues were. And they were still waiting, I think, until the park opened before they were starting to let them take fast passes. So we were getting ready, and we rode it. We got off. That line was pretty huge, so we followed that really nice lady's advice, and I wish I could remember her name. She was so helpful. And we basically hightailed it through Bugs Land over to Cars.
Mm-hmm. We were able to get onto the standby queue for Cars, which happened to be a little longer than we expected, so we still waited a good 30 minutes, but that's still going to be an hour and 20 minutes or more that it would be in the prime time of the day.
Oh, yeah, no, it was totally worth it, and going through the line wasn't bad. It was a pretty cool queue to see some of the things they had there.
Mm-hmm, most definitely. I remember there was an entire hut that was just made of bottles.
Oh, right, the wall is cement wall with the bottles, though. There were oil bottles going through it so you could see the light.
Yeah, yeah, and then there was, I think there was another, like, oil dispensary that had different types of oil, kind of like a soda machine, I think.
Right. Now, the line was pretty cool, and this is the first time I'm really noticing that the lines out in California are mostly outside, because the majority of it was outside, and they even had these really cool overhead AC units as you're walking in the line with nothing else blocking the sun. So very, very bright, a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. Definitely got hot really quickly.
Right, but that's all right. It was actually a heat wave out in California at the time we were out there, so we kind of lucked out, and we got it in the 90s. But what was cool about it, and we found out later, is that as soon as that sun goes down, it gets very cold. And when you wake up in the morning, you're not walking out into the humid, hot 90 degrees like you're used to around Philadelphia or Florida. It's kind of almost comfortable.
Mm-hmm. It was different experiencing dry heat than humid heat. And I don't know if I want to say which one is better, because I honestly probably would prefer dry heat. But I don't live in that kind of environment, so I don't know if I'm getting the wrong impression.
Sure, sure. Okay, so anyway, we decided that after that we're going to take a walk down. I think we went to the Paradise Pier area.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember whether or not we got fast passes for Guardians again, or we went right to Paradise Pier.
I think we went to Paradise Pier first. We did that whole thing. Then when we came back, the line was gone, and we didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But down at Paradise Pier, the goal was Toy Story. Because we saw the line wasn't that bad yet, maybe 20 minutes, 25 minutes, mm-hmm. And we also wanted to ride the roller coaster because we heard so much about it, the California Screamin' roller coaster. And so what did we find out about that?
Well, so for, I guess, a majority of the day, it was closed and
yeah. We
couldn't ride it. But we kind of lucked out with Toy Story Mania because... we were able to get fast passes for almost the exact hour that we got the fast passes. So we kind of cheated the system, something we would, I guess, use more often on this trip than not. And we were able to get right on the ride.
Oh, yeah. Now, that's going to be a theme as we continue, where we came up to the ride at maybe 9:30, perhaps, and we were able to get a fast pass for 9:35 to 10:35. And what was cool is on the fast pass you got it is you could get the next fast pass at 9:35. So it wasn't making any of that normal fast pass sense, but we were ready to go with it. And like I mentioned, the line was about 25-30 minutes long. So we had our fast pass for a 5-minute wait before we got on the fast pass line and kind of went right on the ride.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Toy Story Mania, once you got inside, it was, to my eyes or my memory, pretty exact to what you had in Florida.
I'm pretty sure. The games obviously weren't different. And I'm pretty... like, maybe the ride layout was different, but you honestly don't know or, like, notice it. So...
oh, yeah. And I still remember... I remember asking myself, is this a spinning ride or is this, like, a Target ride? Because at one point, we really did, like, maybe 4 or 5 360s before we went on to the next area.
Mm-hmm. It's always both.
So, after Toy Story... we kind of went the rest of the way around Paradise Pier area, around that cove, checking out some of the stores, kind of like briefly, because we knew we'd be back for here. I think we went on the Ferris wheel at that point.
Mm-hmm. I made sure to get on, I believe, the Symphony Swing ride and the Golden Zephyr, which were two of the carnival-themed rides, I guess, or more boardwalk-themed. But we definitely did backtrack and get on the Ferris wheel.
Right. Now, the Zephyr, If any of you guys listening are from North Jersey and remember way back when they had a park on Lake Apacon called Birchlands Island, they had something very similar to the Zephyr. Big silver spaceship-looking thing that's on chains that swings out and around. And this one, just coincidentally, just like the one back at home, went over the water, too.
Mm-hmm. The Ferris wheel is very interesting because that, like,
we chose correct.
Yes. Yeah, so most, like, from a distance, and even before, I guess, seeing it from a distance, you don't really realize that there are two different rides you can go on this Ferris wheel. You can either go stationary like a normal Ferris wheel, or you can be a little rambunctious and go on the railed Ferris wheel, where because of the way the wheel turns, you're riding in a moving rail car that like goes around a loop, and at certain points in stopping, you're going to be swaying back and forth, and you know.
Oh yeah, forget that. They have two lines, so you could pick either stationary or swinging. And the swinging cars, at one point or another, I've seen them actually almost swing horizontal. So yeah, forget that. I was interested in it because it was kind of cool to get the big view of the park from up there. And it seems like it was pretty cool because they load three cars all the way around the circle. Then you go one full time around the circle, and then they start unloading the cars and doing it again. But we were able to see a lot. I got some good pictures from up top there.
Mm-hmm. It was definitely a good view, and it was a good experience. I don't usually go on height in, like, I don't usually go on height-involved rides, so it was definitely a first for me.
Yeah, no, swinging would not be fun.
No.
So after that, we kind of went back, and now one of the things we had to do kind of on the list was get fast passes for World of Color. And we were thinking about getting 10, 15 fast passes, so we went past where they had the fast pass kiosks, right past the Little Mermaid ride, and they had a mark for 9 p.m., and we asked the cast member, like, what time, or do they know when it switches over? No, they really don't. It's when the 9 p.m. ones run out, it switches over to 10:15. Now, we ended up, I don't know if we got them then or we got them the next time we passed, but we got them for the 9 p.m. show. And for that day, I did notice later on that they switched over to 10:15, probably around 4 or 5. So I don't know if that's normal or not.
It's probably definitely based off of the, like, how many people get fast passes, and when they finally run out of the 9 p.m., they switch over. But I'm pretty sure we got them on the spot, and we were like, you know what? It's not too much of a difference. We might as well get the fast passes now.
Right. And when you get the fast pass, you get it for that area that's in front of the lake. And you either have a yellow or a blue, I think, was the other color.
Mm-hmm.
So you're either going to go right side or left side.
Yeah, we got yellow, and which is an okay color, you know.
Yeah, no, I mean, it didn't matter what side you went on. You still went to the same place. So after we got our Fast Pass, we went back, and there was no line for Guardians Fast Pass. And so we got another Fast Pass for that. And then we had some time now. We had gotten on the major rides to kind of walk around and kind of look at Disney California Adventure and see some of the stores and some of the things they had to offer.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I believe after we got Fast Passes for Guardians, I'm thinking we went in 8. Is that right?
We might have. It seems a little early, but we could have. We ate at the Nowhere food place. I think it was the K-N-O-W Ware, like that place from the Guardians.
Yeah, it was one of the it's one of the food trucks that were outside Guardians of the Galaxy ride, and next to the Monsters Inc. ride.
Right, the doors.
Yeah.
And it was pretty cool because we had the Galactic Nacho, the Galaxy's Best Tacos, and the Chicken Nachos.
Yes, it's something along the green tacos and the orange nachos, or you know, the combination of any of those. But it was really good.
Yeah, it was. I was really kind of surprised. The tacos were a little juicier than normal, but that actually was really good. It was like pulled pork inside it, and the nachos were a little extra hot. So I let Quinn take care of those.
Mm-hmm. Definitely good.
And something that was really nice that we kind of took advantage of a lot, because it was so hot, is we were getting our free water. Don't forget, if you go into the counter service vehicles or, you know, counter service places, you can just ask for cupped water. And they have it all set up on the counter, actually, behind there, waiting to give it out. Mm-hmm. So it's really kind of nice.
I'm glad that's a practice, not only at Disney World, Disneyland, but, like, I believe some other theme parks do that, too. So I'm glad it's a universal practice.
Yep. No, it works out really well. So we went over Disney California Adventure, checking out some of the things that we kind of breezed past. We specifically went down the main street checking out all the stores. We wanted to see what was in there. Did we go to the Grizzly... area park?
We did later in the day when we went on Soarin',
right.
And I think we traveled from Soarin' through the general area, which is just around the river raft ride, to get back into Paradise Pier.
Gotcha.
But we didn't really spend too much time, unfortunately.
Oh, and maybe that's what we did when we came around, and that's when we got our fast passes for the World of Color. But then we took our second ride on the Guardians.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, and just to kind of go over Guardians of the Galaxy, they did a great job. I mean, unfortunately, the Tower of Terror still looks like the Tower of Terror, the Guardians Tower, outside with a lot of stuff on it. But inside, yeah, they did a great job. The first room with Rocket, I'm not going to say too much to ruin it, but the first room with Rocket was pretty cool. But there are some things still left over from Tower of Terror in there you do notice. I guess you can count it as collectors type things.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the key. When you do go into that first room, make sure you go into the corner that's the same side as the door you walked in on. If you end up going over to the door that opens up to the next room, so you're like in front of the line, you're going to miss Rocket. You won't be able to see him at all.
Mm-hmm. And I say try to linger a little bit just to see any extra things, but knowing the line, you'll probably be shuffling out there and linger anyway.
I'd be curious if they had it. Like if you go there one night when it's not that crowded, if you hang out in there, if you might hear any voices. You always hear something different.
True. I get what you're saying.
But yeah, whatever. So you go into the next room. That's normally it was the basement of the Tower of Terror, but it was pretty cool. Now something we noticed, and we didn't really figure it out until the last day we were there, was that some of the people were online were going upstairs in the basement. And we couldn't figure it out, but what it was is that everybody that went to the left study, or the left first room, ended up, I think, going up the stairs. We ended up going to the right side every
time. Yeah.
No luck.
Which,
right. And we kind of just went around the back side of the basement to where the line was and lined up. They had a lot of cool signage that was in some foreign language.
Mm-hmm. Definitely an alien language.
Cool.
Definitely an alien language, but easy to decipher. Because there was a lot of English written as well.
Yeah, so we'll be able to we took some other pictures of like things, signs and stuff. Similar to what we did the next day in Indiana Jones. We'll talk about that in Disneyland later, though. So Guardians, what they did was great. Every time the door opened on the ride, I'm not going to say what you saw, but it was worth it. And you couldn't wait till it opened up the next time. And you had your fingers crossed it was going to be even better the next time. Which it is. It changes. So I will tell you that.
Mm-hmm. Even the song that plays in the background of your tour is different every time, too.
Right. Now, it's kind of cool because your cast members that put you into your seats, they've got a little gig going right now, too, and the majority of the rides we went on, they want out as well as you want out. So they're kind of giving you the wink, wink, don't do this and don't do that. And they're playing that up pretty well, kind of like the old cast members with the Tower of Terror were very solemn and stuff like, they played their part very well.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely.
But all the way around, a really, really good change. I think it was well worth it. The longevity, that's always the big question. Is it going to be this awesome in like 3 or 4 years? Yeah, I would say probably. They could probably change some of those scenes where the doors open, the window opens up. For Guardians 2 and 3, if they had to.
Mm-hmm. Even any of the other Marvel movies. I doubt they would add characters, but they could probably change something up. Maybe add more songs.
Right. And I was going to say, actually, this is kind of part 2 already, because they have the Moth.
Mantis, yes.
Right, so she's in it already. So, yeah, you've already got 2, so they could always add another character. But very good. So I don't want to spend too much time on the one activity, one attraction, but it was really awesome. And again, just to hit the other big ride in the park, Cars, the Cars Racers. Again, another great ride. They did to test track, and they put a whole Cars story around it with the town and the different areas it went into. And the only thing I thought was cheesy was almost running into the tractor in the way.
You ran.
The tractor trailer. I'm like, come on, that's too much like the other ride.
You almost ran into Mac. You almost ran into some of the... Oh, you know what? I love the animatronics of the tractor cows. When you honk the horn to cow tip them, and then they go back. The animatronics for that were great.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, they were. Okay, so we left the park at about like 2 or 3 o'clock because we were really kind of dragging. We got the jet lag going, and we've been up since 6 o'clock. And we wanted to go catch maybe a couple hours and then come back for the evening. But you know what? You leave Disney California Adventure, right across that courtyard is Disneyland. And what we ended up doing is like, hey, you know what? Let's just go into Main Street. Because there's no pressure of us having to do rides right this second. Just go to Main Street like a half hour, 45 minutes, take a walk down and walk back and see what they have. And that's what we did, and that was probably the best idea we had that day so far.
Mm-hmm. It was really relaxed, and we were able to go through the shops on one side and carry back the other side. And it was definitely, I guess, a good preview of the next day to come, and definitely good to see.
Right. Oh, yeah. No, it was definitely worth it. And the Penny Arcade stuck out. The Magic Shop stuck out really well for me. And, yeah, definitely the souvenir hunt went on or started.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
But we did that for like 45 minutes, an hour. And then we left there and went back to our hotel, hung out for an hour, hour and a half, just cooled down, got some drinks into us, and we went back.
Mm-hmm. I believe...
I think we came back and did Soarin'.
I think so. I think... I'm trying to think, because I don't know if we left with Fast Passes or not.
I don't think we did. I think we came back, got Soarin'.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think we got online for Soarin'.
We did. I think...
And it was about 25, 35 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Which wasn't too bad, you know.
No. And it's a lot different than the Florida one, where the Florida looks so modern, and this one is kind of like a little bit more rustic, I guess, for mm-hmm. the area of the park that it's in.
Definitely more of a aviator museum than, I guess,
right.
Here's the World kind of theme that Soarin' has in Epcot, because it's part of the Living with the Land, or the Land Pavilion.
Right.
So that was interesting to see as a different... lens in terms of how they're portraying it.
Oh, sure. But as soon as you got to the hallway where you either go left or right with the big railing down the center of
mm-hmm.
it, it was just like Florida. The same loading queues, the same ride.
Same Patrick Warburton.
Yeah. Now, okay, just a short disclaimer. They could have redone that video very easily and made it more modern.
I mean,
but seeing that is still... classic.
It would have been. It still would have been good with Patrick Warburton, you know, just
sure.
newer.
they could have actually animated it too.
Yeah,
but anyway, we digress. So after that, we kind of walked around, and what's really nice now at night is that everything lights up. And one of the really cool areas we walked through was it this night? No, I think it was the next night.
That we walked through. Well.
Cars Land.
Yeah, no, that was after we saw the World of Color, because we tracked back. I wanted to see up close the lights that they put on the Guardians of the Galaxy Tower, so we had to walk through Cars Land to do so.
Right, and Cars Land at night is magical. And to be honest with you, after we've gotten back, I've seen Cars again. It was just on the TV, and I was too lazy to change it. And when they did that whole scene at the end of the movie where they lit everything up with the neon and everything, Disney California Adventure has matched it. With the mountains in the background, and at the end of the streets, the firehouse with the statue in front of it, with the lights on either side. Wow. Wow, it was really incredible. Very, very moving. Got a lot of pictures of that area.
Mm-hmm. It was definitely magnificent.
Sure. But we were trying to get through to get to... out of the park, I think, at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But let's get back to World of Color. We kind of went back down to the Paradise Pier, and California Screamin' was running.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now, here's where we ran into another one of those. Well, there's a 40-minute wait, yet the Fast Pass is for 5 minutes from now. What do we do? Or get a Fast Pass? Well, we decided to do the fast pass thing, and it worked like a charm.
Yeah, we got right on, and we were able to snag some back seats, like the back of the train seats.
Oh, yeah. Worked out perfectly. And to me, this is Rock and Roller Coaster outside. It was a really fast takeoff. It was a very smooth roller coaster that you went upside down once, and I really had a good time with it.
Mm-hmm. It was definitely one of the only roller coasters I've been on, save any of the Disney roller coasters and a few others. And I think that it's giving me more confidence with roller coaster riding, because I'm always scared of heights and loops, but being outside and on this ride I think helped a lot.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We also went on, is the Goofy's airplane ride here?
Yes. Too? I think we went on that a lot earlier.
Yeah, we did. I forgot about that. But that's like the Mighty Mouse at Hershey or one of those roller coasters that looks like you're going to go off the edge. So it's definitely not the Goofy one from Walt Disney World. It was a fun one.
Mm-hmm. And then I think we definitely did the... So after we did... California Screamin', we kind of made our way around Paradise Pier. We were able to get dinner. I forget the name of the place.
Right, it's the Italian, that's the spaghetti or the pasta restaurant that's got the pizza and the different pasta dishes and such.
Yeah, we were able to eat there. We only got salads, to stay a little on the light side, but I was able to get a tiramisu dessert as well, and that was nice.
Yeah, that was good.
Mm-hmm.
And then we kind of got online for World of Color. Now, the show is at 9, and this is now about 8 o'clock, 8:15-ish or 8:10, something like that. But there's already a line for me. So we're like, yeah, I think we should get online. We did. Sat down, kind of hung out, talked about the day, got the phones. Once we got let in, okay, it's a big rush to get where you're going to stand for the show. We didn't realize it all. And even though we were in the front of the second tier, we were still kind of behind a pole, so it wasn't perfect, but we knew exactly where we were going to go if we saw the show again, which we ended up doing the third night. Now, you're going to get wet if you're in the – because there's one, two, three – I think there's maybe three or four tiers that are pretty wide areas each tier has, except for the first one, which is right next to the water. You could probably stand about six people right in front of each other, and that's about as wide as it is. But the second tier, you could probably put like 20 people going all the way back from that comfortably. So we're in the front row of the second tier. And World of Color is great. We saw all the things in the water from the Ferris wheel, because you can see right through the water. You saw the nozzles and all the things from the show. But during the afternoon, they must pop them up because they're above the surface now.
Yeah, it's probably along the same lines of in Epcot when they bring out the different tech, like the different pieces to get it ready and I guess to calibrate or test it. They probably do the same thing.
Right, right. Now, World of Color was awesome, really good. I wish they could do something similar in Disney World somewhere. The lake over by the Magic Kingdom, perhaps?
Or I mean...
add it to Fantasia?
They could...
Or Fantasmic, I mean?
I mean, they could even just append it onto Illuminations, pending any kind of... Because I know there in recent news, Siemens has dropped the sponsorship, so I don't know what's going to come out of that.
There's a theory going that they might be changing Illuminations. But yeah, imagine having those projection water screens maybe at four or five corners of the park or areas of the lake where they'd show a lot of animations. So there's a lot of potential. In short, though, World of Color was really as good as they say. I really didn't appreciate where people were standing when I've seen videos of it before, and a whole new understanding of it actually being there now, and it was very good. The best-to-me effect was they had a set of lasers set about 20, 30 feet up in the sky, and then they have a water jet that shoots from the lake up through that laser, so it appears as if you're actually making a drop of water, like a rain on water on a lake, because it kind of pierces that laser level, and you can see it like flutter out. Really incredible.
Mm-hmm. I was really interested in the way that they're able to actually project images onto the water screens. And it almost makes me want to do it at home.
Well, yeah, you can experiment. Just not in the background. Okay, so after World of Color, like we said, we kind of meandered our way out of the park through Cars Land, and it was a long day. So we headed back to the hotel, quick 10-minute walk. It was awesome. And hit the hay Got up the next morning and got to Disneyland in line because the park opened up at 8 at, again, 7 o'clock. And we weren't first in line.
We were, like, so we were like third, I think.
Yeah, so we weren't totally, like, out of control. But, yeah, so we were, like, third, which is awesome. And they opened it up kind of the same way, where about 15 minutes before they let us into the park itself. And our plan had been all along, we're going to Space Mountain to get fast passes.
Mm-hmm.
Space Mountain, get fast passes. That's what we're going to do. So, and we did. We got to the beginning of Tomorrowland. They had the rope again. Then they finally let us through and got down, got our fast passes. And then we kind of broke the mold right there. And we went off plan to ride Space Mountain right away.
Mm-hmm. I don't think we did ride Space Mountain right away. I think what happened was...
Yeah, you're right. We didn't, because we were going to, because we thought it was going to be short enough, and it wasn't. It actually got up to like 30 minutes pretty quick. And so we went over to Indiana Jones.
Yeah, that's what happened. So we were able to get fast passes, and we started heading back through to Indiana Jones. And luckily, Indiana Jones didn't have a line at all. We were able to pretty much walk onto the line, onto the ride.
Right. Right. And then real quick, before we just finish Indy, when we went down Main Street, it was kind of one of those rushed walk-ins. But because the day before we spent so much time on it, I had no loss whatsoever as we kind of breezed past it. Because we knew we'd hit it again at least before on the way out. So it was kind of nice that we were able to do that.
Definitely good to get that first impression, like, wow, out of the way.
Right. And walking from Tomorrowland to Adventureland is a third of the distance as it is in Florida.
Oh, definitely. I guess the entire park seemed a little smaller, but I guess that made it easier to walk around.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. So back to Indiana Jones. We walked right into that, and the queue itself is a work of art. There is so much to look at or so much to see as you're walking through that queue. The first time we really didn't appreciate it as much as we did the second time when we actually kind of waited a little
bit.
Even though you have a fast pass, it still brings you into a part of the line where you still wait for a little
bit. And it's not that bad. There's a lot to look at, traps to avoid. They even have the Disneyland version of the pull the rope and get a response, I believe.
Oh, right, the well. Yeah, the well.
I think that's actually outside the other Indiana Jones, too.
Sure. Yes, it is. And it's funny because you hear people say, hey, you know what? If there's a sign that says, don't pull it, go ahead and pull it. And you always worry about that because, you know, how many other signs around the park that are legitimate, like, hey, don't open this door. And people are like, well, I guess I should. No, but the rope's cool. And it was the same guy. It's the same Australian dude down in the well having a hard day.
So we were able to I love the pre-ride video that they had.
Oh, yeah, and I think that guy, isn't that Sully from Indiana Jones? Or he was the Egyptian that helped out Indy in the first movie. He helped get all his equipment together and help him break into that first
Probably. Movie. I don't remember the movie enough. But it was really an interesting, I guess the ride concept that they present is really interesting. The whole idea of this temple of the eye, I believe. And if you look into the eye, you get sent to, I guess it's another dimension or something along the lines. And Indy went ahead and has been trapped for 2 weeks, so they send you in instead to go and rescue him.
To look for him. Right, with the instructions, don't look into the eyes.
I enjoyed the use of the newly invented seat belts that he was boasting about.
That was funny in the video. Now, if you don't, or if you're not sure about this ride, if you haven't heard about it, this is really kind of a knockoff of Dinosaur, and they use the same ride vehicle and the same track. What's cool about the ride is, though, in Dinosaur, you don't know there's any other trucks or cars back in time with you. With this one going through the temple, you know there's other cars around there because there's a lot of tourists, I guess, is the way the story goes. So you're seeing cars crossing your path a lot. And the whole area inside the ride was wide open, as if you're in a big cavern, as opposed to being driving through the jungle and being very, very confined.
Mm-hmm.
So really, really fun. But you do get jerked around just like you do in the Dinosaur.
Yeah, and the different areas in that cavern are great. There's an area with skeletons that jump out at you, and there is one with bugs, and then you're going over a bridge that's about to break, and then you drive past a giant snake, because, of course, it's got to be snakes.
Always.
Yeah. The first time I rode it, I was all for the whole "I'm not going to look into the eyes" thing, and I probably missed a lot because, of course, you're going to look into the eyes. That's the whole point of the ride. So I definitely made sure to look the next time we went on.
Very cool. So very fun. Ends way too soon. And then even the walk out is kind of like cool because you're walking through a lot of the same areas you walked in through.
Mm-hmm.
So fun ride. Indiana Jones, definitely worth it. And we knew we'd be back on it a couple times.
Yeah.
So now the next major ride at Disneyland we had to get onto before we missed it was going to be what?
I'm going to guess, I don't know if we went to right back to Tomorrowland or if we hopped on the Jungle Cruise.
I was going to say Maelstrom, but we might have done the
Jungle Cruise. Oh, you're right.
I think we did Maelstrom next.
We might have gone right back to Space Mountain for Fast Passes, though. And then Maelstrom after that.
Yeah, you know what? I think you're right about that, because we were walking up between the submarine ride and the Maelstrom pathway when we saw that there was like really nobody in line, so we just jumped right
on.
So, correct. We went back to Space Mountain, and Space Mountain was really cool. I think their train is better than our Space Mountain and then the Magic Kingdom in Florida. Mm-hmm. They have people sitting side by side as opposed to in front
of them. The way I like to say it is that if it's a kind of a mix between Space and Splash Mountain, where in Disney World it's 2x2 for Splash Mountain, but in the Space Mountain it's 1x1, they swapped it for Disneyland. So.
Oh, yeah, because in Disneyland Splash Mountain, you're sitting in front of each other. There's nobody next to each other, so it's different. And that was kind of weird in itself, so we'll talk about that in a second. But Space Mountain was really fun. The coaster itself reminded me of the Space Mountain. It's a lot darker inside there than I remember Florida being. And there's not as much like pre and post as they do in Florida. Like, a lot of the line for standby is outside. It's upstairs, and you go around this big circle before you go back inside the mountain and get online for the ride itself. Fast pass, bypass the line.
Yeah. One of the interesting things, I think, that started that the second day we were there is that they started doing scan fast passes instead of handing the fast pass to the cast member.
That's right. They did that at, I remember that being at Space Mountain was the first one, because they didn't do that over at Indy, because we didn't have fast
pass. Yeah, no. But I think they actually, I think I was talking to a cast member in Disney California Adventure the next day, and they said they rolled it out there the previous day as well. So I guess this day they decided to roll out this new FastPass technology. Not new per se, but new for Disneyland.
Right. Now think of the FastPass return posts they have in Florida, where you have that big circle that lights up. Well, kind of similar in that you now have a barcode scanner underneath of it. Once you put your... Now, here's the thing that stopped a lot of people and made the lines long. You have to have your ticket that you got into the park with. Not the FastPass ticket that came to you out of the machine, but the one from the park itself. So now your FastPass ticket is really only a souvenir from now on. It's a reminder of what time you got to go back, but it's really a souvenir. You kind of put it away, and you scan your ticket. It has a little dot or a little circle that's on the place where you put your ticket for the barcode. Scans it, turns green, and you walk in. Some rides had one, some rides had two places.
Yeah, very similar to the Magic Band scanners that they have in Disney World, so I guess we'll have to see what kind of plans they have for those scanners.
Right, and really quickly, I felt more confident with the barcodes, to be honest with you. In Florida, I'm always waiting for my wristband to stop working, or when I have cards for the magnetic strip to stop working, because it's in your wallet with other things, or your keys, or whatever. But with a barcode, you're just scanning it. So as long as you don't rip that ticket apart, you're going to have a good scan. Also, and we forgot to mention it, with the paper ticket again, we made sure we took pictures of each of our paper tickets, just so you have the numbers on record on your phone in case you lose it. Because when you scan that as your FastPass ticket, you're taking it out a lot now. And if it's a second part online or a second place to scan it online, you're still holding it. And that's something you got to kind of worry about, is losing your ticket.
Mm-hmm. So I guess we'll have to see whether or not they're going to improve the system so that they can avoid any possibilities of losing tickets, or if this is something that will be a constant problem.
Right. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. So we kind of did now basically kind of from Tomorrowland, we did everything and we kind of went through when we rotated the Fantasyland. So that would be Star Tours, which
I think
I want to. We did the fast pass.
So what happened was we again abused the system. We had to jump on. I believe we got fast passes and then jumped on Buzz and then went on space on Star Tours.
Right, and really quick, you've heard it all before, but the Buzz Lightyear is really cool. You get to take your gun out of the holster and move it wherever you want. It's not attached to the car, except for the cable. So you can really kind of aim it a lot easier. Someone still has to control the spin of the car, and we did pretty good. We did fair. We both got the same same level. And after that, got on the Star Tours, which, again, just like Florida, once you got inside the ride itself, it's a duplicate. You went through the area where you had R2-D2 and C-3PO talking to each other with the record of the different places you're going to be landing at, and into the next room where you're going to basically go through and load up.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, our first Star Cruiser was malfunctioning. So once we got on, they're like, oh, we can't get the doors closed. Vacuum of space issue with all of that. So we had to get off and wait in line for the next available Star Cruiser.
Yeah, but it was...
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Did we see a new... We did see a new ending, which was new to us. Do you remember?
Oh, it was. Because you know when you go to Naboo and you come up out of the water and you go into the garage and you go all the way straight ahead? And actually, I think I have seen this one before. I think of it. Well, normally what happens is you come into the garage and you hit a Naboo fighter that a droid's working on, and the whole nose of it comes straight through your windshield and it breaks, and it's all really awesome 3D. This time it didn't break. It bent the nose off the end of the spaceship, and the thing fell off. And the window was like just a little scratched or something.
Yeah, and
like
then
the droid was like,
yelling. The droid was like, "Oh, come on!" And then threw the paint onto the window.
Oh, right, the big yellow smear. So that was kind of cool. That was different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but definitely after Star Tours, we made our way back through to Fantasyland, and we were able to get onto the Matterhorn.
Mm-hmm. The Matterhorn, and then up to a Small World, which, again, is kind of like a Small World from our park, other than they have those extra characters and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of cool, because the first time being in there, it was fun looking for them. And trying to figure out where they
were. Yeah, we only went on once, because we're sensible people.
Sure. But it was fun anyway. Now, this is the kind of the day when it was starting to get crowded, so we were kind of just going around looking for ride times and getting on things. So we did get on to Nemo's, the submarine, which was cool, which was, one of the things on my list I had to do, because I love 20,000 Leagues so much. And to be honest with you, boom, it just
like, yeah.
I couldn't believe how much exactly I like it was. A little bit of garbage in the lagoon. Once we got into depth, though, it seemed like it was fine. And, you know, fun ride all the way around.
After that, we went on to the Autotopia.
Right, which you know, someone told me how to ride it. The cars are pretty similar to Florida, but the track's pretty cool. You kind of go way back into the different areas, and you don't really see the Tomorrowland anymore. And they had, and I mentioned this on a different show, but they had Osimo, which is the Honda robot, the autonomous robot, all over the place. Him and his dog.
Oh,
they had little displays.
It wasn't a dog. It was a parrot or something like that.
Oh, they had an animal. I'm pretty sure if they had a parrot, they definitely had a dog.
I think it was a bird. It doesn't matter.
It does not.
After that, I think we went on a food hunt.
I'm trying to think. That first time we ate at... You had a burger.
I had...
Over... Oh, it was in. It was by Storybook.
Yep.
And it was in Fantasyland. What's the name of the red... Can't remember the name of the restaurant.
I can't either.
But it was a pretty cool restaurant, and they had a lot of outdoor seating. So that's what we did. We shared a burger and fries.
Yeah, it was definitely a Beauty and the Beast-themed restaurant, counter service.
Oh, Red Rose Tavern, maybe or something
And then we got – I was able to eat the Beast burger, and it was a burger with, like, pulled pork on top. And it was – hold on. It was, I think, a whole – a brisket, I think, too. Or I forget. It was good.
Whatever was stacked on that, yeah, it was really good. After lunch, we did a couple more of those Fantasyland rides that we are never going to do again, but we had to, like the Wild Toads ride, Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. And we did
Snow White.
Yep.
And we also did, it was Pinocchio, the Pinocchio ride.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right. Which was another cool one because we've never seen it before. You know, based on it being simple, cool, whatever, but it was fun. I had a good time in there. Because I didn't really know what was going to be next.
Mm-hmm. And I think they had it down for some maintenance, like just before we got on, and they just reopened it for the day. So it wasn't much of a wait time anyway.
Right, right. Now, the one in Fantasyland we didn't get on was Storybook Land, and I really did want to get on that one. But for some reason, that was really jammed at the time we were walking through it, and we just never made it back.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
And then, what did we do? Did we take the break then, or did we get to Adventureland?
I spied with my little eye, and the Disneyland app, that Big Thunder Mountain also had that Fast Pass exploit. So we were able to head over to the Fantasyland, or no, to Frontierland, and go right up to Big Thunder Mountain, grab some Fast Passes, and hop on right away.
Right, and I tell you what, from Fantasyland and that center part of the park, there's a lot of different walkways that you get to different places from that I really wish I had a better handle on, where you actually go through, like, buildings and, like, alcoves and back hallways and stuff, or it seemed like at the time. But we were able to get back and forth pretty easy. It was nice.
Mm-hmm.
And the first look at Frontierland and that whole back area... very interesting. It was very compact for how many different lands were over there, because it was
Frontierland.
It was
New Orleans Square.
Right. New Orleans Square, which were kind of compacted all together, I think, in to me one area, because you could see it from end to end. But it was a real jumping area, very very busy and very crowded, and it almost seemed a little bit separate from the rest of the park. So it was kind of nice over there.
Yeah, I was also very entertained, I guess, by Big Thunder Mountain, because it was a different layout than the ride in Disney World.
Very cool.
I guess, more updated. I don't know, I haven't been on Big Thunder Mountain in at least a year in the Walt Disney World park, but it was definitely more updated in terms of that third hill where the cave you're in is exploding as you're traveling through it.
Right. Yep. In Florida, that whole hill has kind of been very tamed down, last I remember. But in California, if you got fuses going all over the place and you got explosions and explosives going off, it's a pretty cool little hill as you go up there. Now, we saw it in the daytime. I got to imagine it's a lot better at night, which we had
definitely. Like a good percentage of the rides probably would have been better at night.
Yeah, well, next time we have some more time, we can try that. So after that, I think is when we
Yeah, I think we might have lounged through the stores in the front again, but ultimately we headed out.
Yep. And then we came back and basically headed right back to Adventureland. Was it... I can't remember if we actually had Fast Pass for Indy, or we just went right past to get the Pirates, because Pirates and the Haunted Mansion were the next on our list.
I think what we did was actually, I think we got Fast Passes for Space, because it would have been like later in night.
We did.
But we definitely made it, when we got back into the parks, we definitely went right to Adventureland. And we went straight for either Pirates or the Jungle Cruise. I think that's when we went on the Jungle Cruise, when we made our second trip.
I agree. Correct. Went into Adventureland, saw the Tiki Room was pretty packed. Went past that right to the Jungle Cruise. And Jungle Cruise was cool because it wasn't a big line. And you go upstairs on the line, which is just an odd thing to do. So I have a couple pictures looking down into the boats before we went back down on the line again. Jungle Cruise was... it was a little different than Florida. Not much. Our driver could have been a bit better. Maybe it would have made it a little bit more... more Jungle Cruise. Other than that, yeah, it was pretty much the same.
Animatronics, Trader Sam, instead of a figure.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. And he was a little different looking, too. Then we moved on to...
Pirates.
I'm thinking, yeah, Pirates next, which you have the choice of left or right.
We went...
we did one...
We went right the first time. And we didn't really compare it because we didn't go left until the next day. But the right is definitely the shorter line.
It seemed to be. We tracked somebody the next day. Now, what's cool about Pirates, cool, maybe not cool, is when the line gets really long, it goes everywhere. Because we're outside and you're getting on the line, you go through this tunnel into this courtyard in front of the Pirates ride where it's really kind of like high walls and you do your little circular lines in there. You come back the stairs and you're still back outside and you go around the different parts of the Pirates ride and then finally you go inside. Mm-hmm. So again, a big line outside. And I don't think there was Fast
Pass. No, there wasn't.
So that's definitely one you have to wait for. And it's one you should wait for because this, to me, was one of the best examples of a better ride than they do have at Walt Disney World. Just because they... Well, I tell you what. There was one minus, but the majority of it was a plus. They had a couple extra rooms, which was incredible. When you came into the room with the pirate ship attacking the town, you had a live fight shadowed going on up top there as if there's somebody trying to get into the castle or the fort. So that was pretty
definitely interesting. I feel like I probably would have liked one less room at the beginning with all the skeletons, just because it takes so long to actually get to the main ride.
No, that's to me. Give me everything. You
I guess it's different.
And that's right, because when you go past that the one pirate with the ship, and you hear the dead men tell no tales. Well, the next room ends up being another big pirate room of dead skeletons. Which makes no sense, because what the hell are skeletons laying around? I get them on the beach. They were all killed to save the location of the treasure. But the next room, they're having drinks, and they're playing cards or doing stuff in skeleton form. Oh, they had the chess-playing skeletons in that room, just like they do on the line in Florida when you look down in that one dungeon. So it didn't make sense, but it was still cool.
I mean, it was really only like one room off of that first part. The rest of the ride was like I would have not changed at all. Like, it was definitely a few extra rooms after you go through the main town. And the town actually was bigger in general. It wasn't, I guess, condensed and made to look like a bigger area. It was a bigger area.
You can look left and right as opposed to only being able to look left in Florida. So, yeah, definitely I agree with that. The one thing that definitely threw me off was the Captain Jack Sparrow. their Johnny Depp is not the same Johnny Depp animatronic they had in Florida. It is a very minor difference, but it really stood out in the face in that it looked different. And you know what? The Florida one, I thought, looked a lot closer to Johnny Depp.
I think it was the eyebrows, but I...
The eyebrows or the blacking around the eyes or the way... Something definitely was off.
But it was definitely interesting to see how they would use it at the end because they still had the treasure room with Jack in it. And it was, I think, as you were climbing uphill, or just before you started climbing uphill?
Right. It was almost like an afterthought, I was thinking, because it seems it was very small and added. Excuse me. And I think, didn't you pass your treasure room before that?
Yeah, there were like one or two. They had some treasure rooms in the beginning of the ride. You had one main treasure room at the end, and then Jack Sparrow and his treasure room.
Right. You know what you had before, Jack? You had the guys in the... In the gunpowder room, shooting guns
and
at each other. That's a great room.
The collapsing barn, I guess you go through.
Right, or the house or whatever you're going under. Right. So that was really cool in this version of Pirates, too. So I really liked that a lot. Haunted Mansion was next. And again, Haunted Mansion, the thrill of actually of lowering down in the stretching room. Just knowing that you're actually going down is great. Because it's not an
effect that they're using to copy.
Right.
It's actually you in an elevator going down.
Right. Exactly. And that was pretty fun. The rest of the Haunted Mansion was pretty right on as far as Florida went. I thought they didn't. Of course, they didn't have the stairways, the steps. But what they did have was Hatbox Ghost.
We were told about that, and we almost missed it the first time. Definitely caught it the second time. Well, we did catch the first time, but we were ready for it the second time.
Correct, because we weren't told where, and we didn't look into it. Just Sam mentioned, hey, make sure you see the Hatbox Ghost. And I only really remembered that until we got on the ride, and I was like, Quinn, look for the Hatbox Ghost. And it was a lot more obvious than we thought. Going down the hill after you fell out the window of the attic, it was right there. Really awesomely done. Between the electronic, digital, between the face mm-hmm. and the Hatbox.
I gotta really say, cool. Something that I'm always wary about, and I try to, like, avoid, is when you're going through the graveyard scene and they have the heads that pop out, the hydraulics of them popping out make a really sharp sound. They were very weak right. on this ride.
Okay, fair enough. And then the last difference at the end, well, two differences. One, you're looking in the mirror and you have the ghost sitting between you as you take them home with you. No funny animatronics where they're switching your head for his or your head for your
Yeah, it's a normal animatronics.
And then the miniature bride as you're leaving was in a separate room.
So that's kind of cool. Gave you, I guess, a better glimpse at it, or had a better perspective. Yep. I'm not sure whether or not they were able to carry over the same epilogue as they do in the Walt Disney World version, where you actually could have found the ring in the ground. Obviously, they've removed it since a decade ago, but I don't think they had the room to do it here, at least from what I noticed.
Yeah, no, I never heard that it was in California. But whatever. Okay, so now after that, we started. Is this when we started getting ready for the fireworks?
At some point in between this, we definitely headed back to Space Mountain to ride it again, which was just a simple go on again, ride it again. But I think after that is when we started getting ready for the fireworks.
Now, you know what we did before that, though? We rode Space Mountain, and then we went over to
the monorail. Oh, yeah.
Because the monorail was running, which it hadn't been running, I guess, the week earlier, and it just started back up again. And we really wanted to ride the monorail. Now, California Monorail isn't as a transportation vehicle such as the one in Florida is. It's more of kind of a ride, and there's two stations for it. There was one in Tomorrowland in the park, and the other station was over at the...
Downtown Disney.
Yeah, I almost said Disney Springs. Downtown Disney stop. So we decided to ride it, and we just basically rode it for the full loop, just because, you know what? It's a great way to see another view of the park itself. And what's kind of nice is it does go through DCA.
Mm-hmm.
So we're able to kind of see that, you know, see that from a different perspective also. We're able to see where it hit Downtown Disney, and we could see from there what we're going to do the next day. So we kind of helped plan that out too.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the way the monorail is set up, it's not the same seating arrangement as the one in Florida. You have seats that are in the center of the vehicle looking toward the windows. So you basically come in, you have to go around the seat to sit on the other side facing that door and those windows. And basically that's your view then, unless you're kind of really craning around.
Yeah.
Moving your neck around. But it's still a really cool vehicle. The windows were down for the ride we were on it. and the park was so hot, they don't have air conditioning in the front and the back cars, so they weren't letting people into those because they didn't want to cook them. Which I thought was really nice, but it was a shame because we couldn't get into there, because in California you can ride in the front and the back. So yes, and after that we took a walk over to the back to Main Street, and everybody was getting set for the Main Street Electrical Parade, which is an okay parade, not one of my favorites, and even though it was an original Disneyland, we kind of were doing a little bit store action. So, Quinn, I think, had a kind of specific Toy Store list pin-wise. And so I was keeping track of the parade back and forth. And then once the parade was done, we got ourselves set for the fireworks. We heard so much about the fireworks show. And we were probably about, I guess, maybe a quarter of the way down Main Street toward the castle.
We were
closer to the circle.
We were right outside of the Starbucks, because I remember going in there quick to be like, do I have time to get something? And I saw the line. I'm like, nope, I don't have time to get something. So I jumped back out. I think I got an apple or something, but I jumped back out and got right back into the center of Main Street.
Yeah, and we had a pretty great spot. I got some great video until the show stopped.
Oh.
Now, the show they have is awesome, because the first maybe 5 minutes is a real, real close wishes facsimile. You do have Julie Andrews talking, which is really cool to hear her voice, and you go into some wishes, and then the show starts And then basically because of wind warnings and weather forecasts, they had to stop the show. So we weren't able to watch the rest of the fireworks show. However, we saw a lot of the fireworks the night before, which was kind of cool because the walk back to the hotel, you could see it over the park.
I was really impressed with the show up to the point we saw because it was a different take on the whole idea of wishes, which was dreams come true. I guess that's what the show was called instead. And I loved how it kind of took a little snapshot of each part of Disneyland as a park and kind of either showed it on the castle or through the fireworks or through the music.
Yes, they were doing the lands, and then you're right, exactly. And then using music to illustrate the lands. Right, I wish I could. Yeah, well, we'll have to watch the video, I guess. But again, it was still a fun day. We had a full day. We did pretty much everything we wanted to do with maybe one or two exceptions. And now I guess three because we didn't see the fireworks.
True.
Come to think of it. There was no way the next night we weren't going to see World of Color. That was definitely between us. No real discussion about that. So we were going to sacrifice the fireworks show for that. And it was worth it. So now we went back to the hotel, had a full day. The next morning, we had an option. We could get up at 6 a.m. again, or even a little earlier than that, because the park opened at 7 because of the extra magic hour in the morning. We opted out of it. We had such full days the first 2 days, and we kind of realized that because of the way those fast passes work for a lot of those different rides that were popular, we were going to chance it and sleep in the next morning. We knew we were going to do World of Color that night. This is our last day, and we were going to have to drive an hour and a half back up to my uncle's house that night after we were done with the parks. So that was going to be late night drive, this and that. Yeah, we decided to sleep in. Better part of being careful. So we slept in to 8:30 maybe, almost
so
9 o'clock,
late.
Which is torturous. But it was awesome because you know what? We got ourselves packed. We got everything in the car, checked out of the hotel. We ended up getting back to the parks about
just about.
I was going to say, and ideally what we were doing is we were trying to time out when we can get Guardians Fast Passes so that when we get back to DCA, that we'll be able to ride Guardians at night. Because our plan was to go to DCA in the morning to do that and then get World of Color tickets, go over to Disneyland, do whatever we missed and what we wanted to do extra, and then come back to DCA. Oh, I'm sorry, and also hit downtown Disneyland.
Of course, just to experience it once.
Oh, sure. And you know what? The day pretty much worked out perfect. Where we got over to California Adventure, we went over to California Screamin', rode that a couple times, I think, because we're basically wasting time to get up to do the Fast Pass.
For World of Color?
For World of Color, we're wasting time.
Oh, true, yeah.
Now, what we didn't mention is DCA. The first day we were there, we did the Animation Academy, which was great because Total Flashback, one of our favorite things at Hollywood Studios, was doing the Animation Academy and learning how to draw pictures. We both drew Baby Groot. And on hindsight, even though Quinn's was great, I think that was cool too. I thought I really messed it up on when I first had it. And it could be a lot worse than it was. When
not
I
at all.
It, again.
It was so really it was good. Sorry.
Thank you. No, no thanks. The room itself was huge compared to the Florida room, the way that was. And I have my fingers crossed that somehow, some way, they bring it back to Florida in a way we can get to it. We ended up on now the last day. I ended up going in there twice. And we basically went in there kind of as a fun thing to do and to kill some time while we're waiting for the Guardians line to come around, or the Guardians Fast Pass time.
One of the things that I did the first day, but then I went back to this third day, was they had a station set up where you could take a little personality quiz, and essentially it would give you which Marvel hero you are most like. So you go through, if you get responsibility, you get Spider-Man. If you get strength, you get the Hulk. If you get loyalty, you get Captain America, along those lines. So I went through for myself the first day. I got Iron Man, which I forget which trait he displayed, but they...
Rich.
Oh, you know what?
Genius.
It is the future. I have it on my laptop. I was able to look at it real quick.
Oh, cool. When I went through, I got Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm. But they gave you a sticker, and it had a little bit of logo, and it gave you the title of the trade. And I knew that was one of the easy things to get for my friends in terms of which Marvel heroes they like. So that third day, I went back, and I had to cheat the system a little bit and take the test, so I was gearing for the superhero rather than my own personality. And I was able to successfully get all my friends the superhero that they were, that they liked.
Oh, very cool. Actually, I had an extra sticker. I had Captain America sticker and an extra comic book. Jimmy, I hope you're listening to the show, because you're really good.
Oh, boy.
So now it was kind of a cool kiosk, and they had a lot more stuff set up for the Marvel Heroes theme that they have going at DCA. They had a lot of characters walking around and doing the greet meets, mm-hmm. the character greet meets. How about the
characters? Yeah, they had Black Widow, they had Captain America, they had Spider-Man. And it was really cool seeing Black Widow come out, because she's walking in the streets, and she's in her truck, and she's like, move aside, or I think something along the lines of that.
Oh, yeah, no, they did those characters really well. In front of Guardians of the Galaxy, they had that dance show they were advertising, which was pretty cool, because they had Quill, and they had Gamora, and they had them interacting with the crowd, which is pretty cool. And they were doing a dancing thing, and they were basically trying to take out a bunch of sensors mm-hmm. in the area. We were able to watch the stage crew, where they are actually controlling all the special effects with iPads.
Anytime that they got a radio call from Rocket or the music started, it was them controlling it. So it was really interesting to see not only the process that they're doing it, but perhaps them still kind of quality checking the show as they had taking some notes and stuff.
Oh, sure. We saw a couple of different... We walked through a couple of different shows, and that last day I actually watched the full show, and they had some executives out there, too. So, yeah, I guess they're all still checking it out. The actors that were there were great. The guy who played Star-Lord, really, really good. Gamora was good, too. And all in all, a very, very good show, and I don't really hang out for
mm-hmm. It was interesting because the way that they exit the stage to go back and, I guess, see Rocket again is across the pathway and into one of the buildings. And that's we're near where we were standing the first day. The third day, we knew where to go to take the pictures. We just didn't know that both of us were there at the same time. So I have video of them going by Star-Lord high-fives a lady and goes in. And you have...
pictures of you taking that video, but I didn't know you were there, because it was kind of funny, because you were going to do the Heroes thing where you're going to get the stickers mm-hmm. again, and I was going to go, I forget what, check fast passes, I guess, for the Guardians, and then when I came back, I stopped to watch the show, and when you must have just came earlier and watched the show, too. It happens. But it was pretty funny.
So we went back into the Animation Academy, and we were able to draw Piglet and Scrooge McDuck.
Yeah, because we heard they were going to do Scrooge next, so we did right back in the line for him. Groot was my best.
Mm-hmm. I'd have to say my evil corporation Piglet was the best one.
Yeah, we'll have to check those out. We'll post some pictures mm-hmm. when we get
the main story around that is that during the directions, the artist made a comment about Piglet's ears being rounded rather than pointed, and she was like, well, if you make them pointed, it'll look like Maleficent Piglet. So I was like, and I corrupted Piglet to be a business savage.
There you go. I think after that, we kind of moved out of the park. We did see some good things. Now, the first day in DCA, we saw the Streetmosphere characters, which I was kind of happy to see they have them also, just like Hollywood Studios does. And on the way out on the third day for the midday, we saw some musicians. I want to say the 30s.
Jazz, big band.
Flaps.
Yes.
Yes. Really, really fun. She girl singing and guys backing her up on instruments. Really cool. They all jumped in a jalopy and took off when they were done. Very, very cool show. Right near that Carthay Circle statue or the big post tower. So we went to Downtown Disney kind of doing the souvenir thing, one last shot for Mom and for Hope and things like that. And downtown Disney is almost like one little area of the Florida downtown Disney. Kind of like, I guess, think of this toy store area and about the dozen stores that are around
it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Boom. Which is kind of nice for the way those two parks are. That's actually kind of a perfect area. The stores themselves are kind of limited. I think they probably... And they were doing construction, which I'm not sure exactly if it was for downtown Disney or if it was for Star Wars
or expansion. Or if it was another hotel Disney expansion.
Right. So they might be doing something. But I was underwhelmed a little bit. Maybe if I was there a little longer and I had more time to spend. Yeah, but not even so. I mean, the restaurants there were kind of cool. If I was looking for that food, I would go to them. Otherwise, no.
Mm-hmm.
And the store, they had a D-Tech. They had, yeah. It was.
It seemed that D-Tech had turned into a Star Wars Marvel-themed store.
Right. Gotcha. So it was okay. We went back to Disneyland after that. And did Indy again, because it was the Fast mm-hmm. Pass Mania. Where we were able to get on it using a Fast Pass. We did Pirates again. We did a bunch of the.
We were able to get Fast Passes for Splash Mountain, and then we went. I think we cheated the system to a new level because we got Fast Passes for Haunted Mansion, and then instead of getting on right away, we waited for that time you can get another Fast Pass and went to Splash Mountain to get Fast Passes.
And then before we could use the Splash Mountain Fast Passes, the ride went down. We got lunch across the way from that at the, I won't be able to remember the name of it, but another burger place that was in Critter Country. It had a Bears theme to it because they did have the jugs from the Country Bear, which was kind of odd since they didn't have Country Bear. Speaking of rides that weren't there anymore that we recognized, really quick, we'll jump over to DCA. They had the movie at DCA. Was it the Star Wars movie?
It was the Marvel movie.
Where we noticed the theater was the Muppets theater.
Oh, was it that?
Because, I'm not sure which one it was. I think it was the Star Wars one. And that might have been over.
Okay, so
I'll have to think about that.
There were two. There was the Marvel one, which was in Disney California Adventure, and then there was the Star Wars one, which was right next to Space Mountain. So if it's Muppets, I'm guessing it was in Disney's California Adventure. Yeah.
DCA. Yeah, I would say that too. But we'll go back and check. But what's cool is that you're in the theater, you're watching the movie, and then to the right you can see the area where the two old guys sit. To the left,
Statler and Waldorf. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was like, this has to be the Muppets Theater. But it was, you know, again, the Star Wars movie was, again, cool. The Marvel one was awesome because you're kind of revisiting a bunch of things. So, again, time killers and air conditioning.
No, yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
So we got lunch. And luckily enough, after we ate, Splash Mountain was open again.
Yep, we got pretty sick on Splash. Now, something else we noticed while we were getting off of Splash, the Columbia was moving around, which it hadn't been yet, and the riverboat was moving around, which it hadn't been yet. At that point of our day, we weren't going to have time to do anything on the rivers. However, it was really kind of cool seeing them moving around. The Columbia was the big one, and I don't think it had people on it. I think it was just kind of testing out. But I would have liked to have tried to get on that just because it was a little different.
Splash Mountain was also different because it was a little faster paced, and the one-by-one rowing, like a row of the seats, was different.
Sure. One in front of each other. Plus, we got wetter. There's a bunch of different areas that just the water overflows for no reason whatsoever. It's part of the ride.
And I'm pretty sure my shoes got more soaked than the rest of my body.
Yeah, you know. Like I said, it's still part of the fun. So we finished up Disneyland and said goodbye. Took some pictures on the way out. We found the red and white light bulb over at the Coca-Cola store. We got to watch the Dapper Dans on the way out. Kind of they were doing their show over there, too. And, went back over to California Adventure, got on Soarin' again, got on Guardians, got our fast pass for Guardians. We moved down to the Paradise Pier area, did a couple more roller coaster rides.
And then ultimately we got ready for
World of Color. And it was getting cold, so I greenlit the purchase of a sweatshirt for the boy, which was cool. A really nice sweatshirt. And it came in handy for me, too, because the water was really coming at us, World of Color, tonight, that night. And it was really kind of cold, so I was able to get behind him a lot. That worked out as a shield. But at one point, the water stream came right onto the lower tier, like really water pouring onto the tier. So I don't know.
It's either the wind or maybe it's like, oh, you don't believe this is the splash zone? just real quick, to backtrack, we were able to get on the Ariel ride, the Little Mermaid ride. But that was just before we got online for the Fast Pass for World of Color. I just wanted to make sure we mentioned that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, sure, yep. And this time we were in right center, dead center on the second tier for World of Color, so no poles. We were able to see the center projection water screen, and it is much better from there. It's not impossible to watch it from the sides, but it's so much better from the middle, even if you're a couple tiers up. Got some great pictures. Something we didn't mention earlier is that we didn't do it this night because they didn't have it. But the first night we saw World of Color, the Ferris wheel, once they dump the people off, it has a light show where there's three parts of the wheel that light up different colors that you follow, kind of like Simon Says, the old Simon game. And then on your phone, you're playing the app on their Wi-Fi where you're going back through your memory of all the different colors. Quinn played it the first night. He did really good. Now, the winner, the guy who gets the most points, is supposed to be able to control the colors on the wheel. So they kept saying they had a winner, but they never really showed it on the screen or they announced who it was. So I don't know.
I think they did. They just didn't really show who did because they were going through the colors. To be honest, if I won, I probably would have just kept it on one color just to prove that it was somebody.
Two colors.
Yeah, you got
like
purple, orange,
something like that, you know. But either way, so that was kind of fun, keep people active. That was like the last 15 minutes before the show started. And again, like the first night, the show was really kind of cool. It was really, really good. Saw it from the center area, so that was really fun. And that was, you know, and then we kind of meandered our way out of the park. That was it. That was our 3 days at Disneyland, a Disney California Adventure. Now, before we finish up tonight, I want to go over because our friend Sam had sent us some questions. And basically, we're just going to go over it because I think we're going to talk about a lot of them already. But let's just double check in case.
Hatbox Ghost, done.
Big Thunder, done. Oh, the castle. Yes, it was very much smaller. Very noticeably smaller. However, that didn't take away from it once you got that into your mind. I don't know why they didn't add on to it after.
Maybe it's tradition.
They probably could have. But still, yeah. So no, nothing wrong with that.
Just real quick on the castle. To the extent it has that walk through Sleeping Beauty or Snow White exhibit, we saw the door that led to it as we were going to Frontierland the first day, or I guess the second day. But we didn't really go through it. Do you remember that?
Yeah. No, I do. I know, and we didn't get back to it. The Matterhorn. Final thoughts on the Matterhorn was I went on it once because I didn't want to hurt my back on it. But it was a fun ride, and the Yeti works.
Oh, yeah. Definitely much more scary than the one on Expedition Everest.
Yeah. Now, the Yeti is also found in DCA. Do you
remember that? No.
Who collects things?
Oh.
The Yeti was downstairs in the basement of the Guardians of the Galaxy, which I thought was kind of odd since he was also in Matterhorn.
I guess I missed that.
Whatever. Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, I thought was pretty cool. We walked out of there with the conversation about the rat. He looked like he was dressed like Sherlock Holmes, and we both agreed that, yes, he ended up becoming the Sherlock Holmes character in the Disney movie.
The Great Mouse Detective. I believe they use the exact rat from Mr. Toad's Wild Adventure, or the original cartoon, in the Scrooge version of the Christmas Story or whatnot with the three ghosts. But they definitely I guess they really can't get around making another detective rodent that doesn't look like him. So they
I thought it worked out. So the Nemo subs, the Penny Arcade, which was really cool. Everything worked in there. We got a Fortunes toy.
I saw one of the plays or the what do you call them? Yeah, the Nickelodeons. It was these two kids. They were enjoying pie, but they weren't supposed to.
Cool. Main Street, great moments with Lincoln. We saw that, and I tell you what, it's another one of those things of Disney history that I thought really stood out. From that attraction, you see where the germination of Hall of Presidents and American Adventure came from, definitely. And the show itself was a lot more than I expected. I had never seen a video of the Great Moments of Mr. Lincoln, so to me I thought it was you go in a theater and the curtain opens and there he is and he stands up and talks. So now you got a lot of the animation and the talk about history beforehand, and I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I definitely enjoyed seeing such a good piece of history. And kind of one of the things that was really great is that they had all of the different spirit of invention, spirit of adventure statues that they show at the end of American Adventure outside on display and kind of like a quarter scale of the ones in the Epcot attraction. So we were able to get pictures of all of them.
Right. Yes, really close up. So it was kind of cool seeing those. I can't wait to go through those. Okay, Indy, we talked about. Pirates, we talked about. Marvel. Yeah, the Marvel thing is pretty out of control over there. And I think it's going to get more so. The rumor is D23 is going to announce a Marvel Land at DCA. It's going to be interesting. Toy Story Mania, we talked about. Soarin', talked about. Downtown Disney. Mickey's Wonder Wheel. Carthay Circle. And the Walt statue at DCA. Now, we did find the Walt statue at California Adventure. We both got a couple pictures with it. Very cool statue. Definitely Walt in the 30s or 20s with the hat. Really cool looking. We got a picture with Oswald out of DCA. I thought that was really cool. Now, something that wasn't in Disneyland that we did get to experience is we went down to Hollywood before we left California. Down to Hollywood and Vine to the Star...
Hollywood Boulevard, right?
Right, and we were able to see a bunch of different things. The Real Grumman's Chinese Theater, we saw a lot of the footprints in there. We saw the stars. I saw two Walt Disney stars, one for TV, one for movies. I saw a Roy O. Disney star. I saw a Mickey, a Minnie, a Donald, a Tinkerbell, a Michael Eisner star. And we also saw the...
It's the El Capitan Theater.
Right, the El Capitan Theater down the street from where we were by the Grumman's Chinese Theater, which was pretty cool because they have a lot of openings in there in the past, you know, Disney history. And just for reference, they had Cars 3 there.
I got to say, so, I was kind of underwhelmed, which I guess is just because the Chinese theater that they have in Disney Hollywood Studios is, I think, a perfect scale.
No, it was pretty close on. I think you're right about that as far as being a correct scale. What was really cool is the footprints out front were real stars. We're talking 30s, 40s, and 50s, the guys who made Hollywood, the guys and ladies who made Hollywood. So it was pretty cool. I got a lot of pictures in there. Well, I tell you what, Quinn, we've been going a long time tonight, and it's only been a week since we've been back, but it really was fun going over the trip again. So I hope someday you come back on with us again. Hopefully we don't have to wait till we go to California.
We'll have to see. We'll have to see what's coming up. Maybe you can have me on and we can talk Kingdom Hearts or something. Ooh.
Oh, no doubt. Actually, that's not a bad theme. Maybe we could do a whole show about Disney games and social activities and things like that. Okay, great. Well, thanks again for coming on, Quinn. Hey, I had a really good time with you. I think we went the full week without too many disagreements.
Oh, yeah. It was definitely one of our better trips.
I think there's just so much new stuff going on that how could it not be?
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me. It was great to the podcast again and great to contribute to the Disney Nerds.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. So, guys, if you want to get in touch with the show, give us an email at thedisneynerds@yahoo.com. Let us know what you thought about the Disneyland trip. Send us some questions and maybe we'll revisit the topic very soon. Don't forget, D23 is coming up, so check out the Facebook page, the Disney Nerds Podcast, also our group page, Disney Nerds, on Facebook, to see some live video coming from those D23 announcements. Hopefully we're going to get some good ones, because the rumors are going crazy right now. So, for Quinn, this is Ed, and we're the Disney Nerds. We'll talk to you next week.
I've been wanting to say this all episode. We're moving on.
Have a good day. We'll talk to you later.
Mortals pay.